Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
In this month of February, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, David Malfara, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins, Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and the one and only Enza.
My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. We're beginning our coverage of Yellow Jackets, a fun little show that many of you probably know.
Buzz.
With us today is a person you may recognize from our Black Widow review.
Yeah, often requested to come back on the show.
Madison, hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
Just the huge podcasting,
you know, being content creators, churning out the media.
Yeah.
How have you been though? So some people, Madison, last time you were on, that was before Stranger Things season 4, right?
I can't remember the last time that I was on. It's been a minute though.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
So we have a lot more people who listen to us now since the last time you're on.
Yeah. Since I've seen. Yeah.
Yes. So just tell the new listeners, you know, who are you?
Who am I?
Oh my goodness. Let's get to the real Madison. Let's peel back some layers.
You seem like a pistachio ice cream kind of person.
I am a pistachio ice cream. I'm a pistachio enthusiast, actually. But I don't know. I'm just, you know, watching media, absorbing it and...
Consuming content. I get it.
Making content.
Chilling. So we had you on originally because as... a lot of our listeners know we are painfully aware that we are just three white dudes who own a podcast. So sometimes we just wanted more voices on the show.
Yeah. It behooves us to seek some other perspectives.
Yeah. And Chris and I were trying to find out, like, we need a third person to cover Yellow Jackets because Andy wasn't going to be able to do Yellow Jackets with us.
Well, I remember texting Steve and I was like, a woman preferably, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a very female-centered show. And, you know, the first episode is directed by Karen Kusama, who's famous for The Invitation, Jennifer's Body. And I was like, dude, it can't just be.
Most of our listeners are women.
Yes, that's true. If we can avoid three dudes on this particular one for sure, let's do it. And so I'm very glad you were willing to sit with us for 8 weeks and actually probably more because then the second season comes out. So however long you can stomach it, really.
And I really
I'm
do
in
mean
it for the long haul.
I really do mean a lot of people who either were listening to us way back in the old times or people who have like gone back and listened to some of our old stuff. We've had several people message us like, when's Madison coming back? She's awesome.
That warms my heart.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, do I have a podcaster voice?
I think so. But Yellow Jackets, like Madison, also oft requested. So my Instagram DMs, the email thread, all of that stuff was was filled up with people. Please cover Yellow Jackets. Please. Yes. And one naysayer who just didn't want to download Showtime. And
and I get it. I didn't want to download it either.
I had to convince Steve for that reason too. It was really funny. We were talking in the Discord and they were like, I was really hoping you didn't cover Yellow Jackets. And I was like, oh my God, no, I'm so sorry. Why don't you like it? And she was like, I just don't have Showtime. And I was like, that's fair.
Fair.
It's fair. A show well worth, I think it's like only $5. I don't know how much it is. Honestly, maybe it's 11.
It's got a 7-day free trial period.
Yeah. So free trial and binge season one. That's my recommendation. And I almost promise that you'll love the show enough to keep subscribed until like totally. Mid-April or whatever it is to watch season two, to finish season two rather. But anywhoozle. So let's talk about this stuff. Here's what we're going to do. Talk about Madison and I have each watched Yellow Jackets. This is our second time through. And each of us finished watching the first episode today. And Steve has never seen this show before because Showtime. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have a different perspective. It'll
today
be fun.
Literally was Showtime, baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
Paramount owns Showtime now. I found that out. Did you know that?
I just found that out this week. Yeah.
So I guess they're going to be doing a Paramount Plus merger with the streaming networks.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Isn't there a third one that Plus is supposed to be merging with? There's Showtime, and then there's one other one, I thought. I might be just talking about.
No, you're right. I think they bought a bunch of stuff. MGM Plus is going to be its own thing soon, by the way.
Why?
You can, you're not going to subscribe, but
why?
Why?
I don't know.
The one place you can watch James Bond.
I don't know.
And nothing else.
I've never seen James Bond.
Any of the Bondses?
Never.
Sean Connery?
Nope.
Roger Moore?
Nope.
Pierce Brosnan?
You keep listening. I'm going to keep saying
that's,
no.
That's the bit.
Clive Owen?
No. Well.
Oh, I almost got her. I almost got her. Almost got her.
It doesn't matter who you say. She's going to say no. Some of the Bonds are very, very cool. Very good. Very good stuff.
That's weird that they're making that, though. You know?
Everybody's got to have their own Plus nowadays.
God damn.
Yeah, back in the day when streaming networks were originally a thing, it was like, oh, great, I can finally cut cable. I don't have to worry about buying all these channels and adding them to my cable package. Mm-hmm. And now they're all just splitting off and you got to do it anyway.
It's about the price that cable was now, at least. Yeah. It's actually getting to like DirecTV prices.
I was talking with my dad the other day because he's completely off the grid in terms of he doesn't even have internet and all this other shit. But I was like telling him, I probably spend about $75, $80 a month on subscriptions and streaming services. And he was like, and that is why I don't have internet and, you know, stupid
avocado toast.
That is why I do not have internet.
Yeah, that's how
horse Bob, and buggy, they're coming back.
That's how Bob sounds. Yeah. But
I bought my first house at 14 years old.
I ordered it out of a Sears catalog and built it with my hands.
So back to Showtime. I'm watching it through Hulu. So will it be removed? So Showtime is through Hulu.
Do you have like a Showtime channel that you pay for on Hulu?
Yes.
Probably?
Yeah. Yes.
I think that should be fine.
Okay.
I think always because like Amazon does that same shit. Mm. I actually downloaded Showtime separately. The only reason I did that was so that I could share it with someone who rhymes with Beeve.
He's talking about our friend Grieve.
But typically I would have used like an Apple TV channel.
Yeah.
But the only reason I knew that is because I was trying to figure out who do I email so that I can get Yellow Jacket season two early access screeners, which would be really cool for us. We could get ahead of the curve and actually bank some episodes. So it's not as stressful. And it found out it's like, you need to talk to Paramount. And I was like, Paramount, Schmaramount, what? So I emailed Paramount. I'll let you know what happens. I don't have a good success with this in the recent past, but I'll keep trying.
You've had some good success in completely unrelated things to what we do.
Yeah, everyone, really I get screeners for everything except what we cover on this podcast, which is really frustrating. So I'm just watching a bunch of other random shit. Anyhoozle, and everybody loves when I say that. We got extra, by the way, I just want to say, we got other reviews begging me to stop saying anyhoozle. I don't know if you saw that.
It's here to stay, baby.
You need to merchandise that stuff. T-shirts, hats.
I'm glad you say that. We have anyhoozle merch. Is it available
Shut
now?
Up.
Well, Chris, it's funny you ask because, guys, we have a brand new merch store. I think over the summer we launched our first merch store. It was pretty bare bones, whatever. But luckily, we are working together with some really amazing people. They are also fans of the show, Garrett and his wife, Jessica. They run their own printing company, and they're going to be doing all of our merch. And if you go into the show notes right now, you can find a link that will take you to the Streaming Things merchandise store, which does feature an Any Hoozles shirt.
Yeah. So take that, three haters of the word Any Hoozle. Now I'm going to be wearing a shirt live. Now, this is awesome because now we have like a small business that is made up of fans of the show running our merch.
Oh, I should say cool. It's West River Printing Company. Mm-hmm. So check them out online. Nice. They're great.
Yeah, they've been awesome to work with. And the Discord is the gift that just keeps giving. All these talented folks keep popping up like, hey, you want me to do something super awesome for you? Like, yeah.
People absolutely. Helping people. That's cool.
You'll right. see it. So yeah, there's some great designs. Like you can find a shirt of our logo. You can find the Any Hoozles shirt. You can find the Pippin the Dog fan club Pippin t-shirt. The
Heck yeah.
And also for a limited time, you can find the Last of Us Pills, baby t-shirt. Get them while they're hot.
Any Hoozle, Yellow Jackets, episode one. So let's talk a little bit about our previous experience. Madison, what did you think when you first watched the show in 2021?
I was, so when I first heard about the show, it was described to me as kind of Lord of the Flies-esque.
Yes, and I remember that.
I was very interested to just kind of check it out, dive in. What I really enjoyed was that, you know, it was an all-female cast for the most part. And I don't know, I watched the first episode and I remember immediately thinking, fuck, I'm going to watch all of this in one sitting, which I did end up doing. But I loved it. That was my first impression. I might have mentioned this in previous podcasts, but I have an Excel sheet of all of the TV shows.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, I remember that.
Of all the TV shows and like mini series that I watch. And I also rank them on a tier list. You know, S tier, A tier, B tier. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
Yeah.
I've seen YouTube videos.
Yeah. but S tier is like the best of the best, you know, great, you know, and that's
what's your lowest tier on this, on your personal scale? What's the lowest tier?
Yeah. S is one and then you can just keep going as many as Z, right?
F is the fucking worst. Oh. And I think the only thing.
Is that like an F in the chat? Is that no? That's a different F.
The one thing I have as an F is American Horror Story Roanoke.
I didn't even watch season. Roanoke.
It was so fucking
bad.
I've
actually seen that one. It's really terrible.
It's fucking awful. I think that is the only show like season I have ranked as an F. But Yellow Jackets I ranked S because I was like, I can watch this over and over and over and feel like I am finding something new. Just the imagery with how they film is amazing. So
yeah,
that was awesome. My first impression.
Steve, your first time through, I guess you've only seen one episode so far, right?
Yeah, I've just seen the one episode today.
What are you thinking so far?
So far it's pretty good. You've told me about what the show is many times in the past. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, when the first season first came out, you were trying to get, me to watch it with you. And for whatever reason, I just didn't. And so much time has passed between now and then. I was over the weekend. I was like, oh, I got to start watching Yellow Jackets again. And my girlfriend was like, what is that about? And I'm like, I don't fucking remember. I know.
That's the best.
I know there's like a bunch of like 90s references and I know it's a female cast and it's really cool like that. So before I started watching it, I brought up IMDb and just looked at the IMDb synopsis. I'm like, huh, didn't think it was about this. And then I started the show. I'm like, huh. A lot darker than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought this was going to be like Stranger Things, Chris.
It's very similar. It's more like season four.
When does the Demogorgon come out?
Very soon.
When does their coach, Dr. Brenner, watch you?
Can you imagine Dr. Brenner's...
Hello, girls. You have to pass the ball to the outside of the wings.
How much he would love this show, though?
He would love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, any children fighting,
there's little there. Children murder. You know?
Yeah.
This would be a favorite show.
Let me shave all their heads.
Yes.
I have an annual subscription to Showtime.
I bet you do.
All time.
You save money that way of doing it annually, right?
Yeah, I package it with ESPN too.
Okay. Big sports guy? Indeed. I figured.
But yeah, this first episode, watching it, it was, you know, I really had no idea what I was getting into. I didn't know what to expect. I was really captivated with how they were handling the jumps between the two different mm-hmm. timelines. I thought they did that very well. I really, and you guys have seen this. Maybe this is something I'm pulling apart on my own, but maybe it's intentional. You guys can let me know. But
like
I love
three times.
How obviously important wardrobe is in this show.
Yes.
Just from like, you know,
you're what, smart guy.
What everyone's wearing. Like immediately, like the first scene with like all the people in like the, you know, the cult like robes. I was like, oh, those are all like animal skin on top of like just random clothes a teenager would have. And it's stuff like that. And we'll get into it more, but I just was really captivated by just how smart the show is right off the bat. And it's got a great cast, some really incredible women. I love Christina Ricci. So when she popped up, I'm like, yeah, girl, Casper's my jam.
Get it, girl. Get it, Christina.
Yes.
But yeah, so Chris, what about you? What were your thoughts?
I'm so excited to revisit this because like watching it today, I realized how badly I need this because my life is so decrepit. No, because for season two, I'm not as fresh as I thought I was. You know, like watching it today, I was like, oh yeah, she's... so I'm really grateful that I get this opportunity to really dive deep into season one. But I loved this show, much like Madison. I tore it apart as soon as I found it. It wasn't something I was quick to watch because, no offense to anyone listening, it was on Showtime. And I, you know, I don't watch billions. I can't think of a single other Showtime property offhand that I would, excuse me, Shameless was on Showtime way back in the day.
Yeah.
But it's been on Netflix for so many years now.
Everything Everywhere All at Once is streaming on Showtime.
They've got, I'm sure they're trying to compete. I'm just saying like, as far as like a network with original programming, you're not gotta check out the newest Showtime show. Like the way HBO, I don't even care what it's about. If HBO is doing it, I'm going to watch episode one at least. Right. But then I saw the buzz online. And I saw that Christina Ricci was in it. And Juliet,
no pun intended.
Yeah. Yeah. buzz. Juliette Lewis was in it. Melanie Linsky, a huge fan of hers. I had just seen I Don't Feel It at Home in This World Anymore. I think it's her indie movie she did with Elijah Wood. And Elijah Wood got cast in season two, by the way, which we got that to look forward to.
Frodo Baggins.
All of that led me to check it out. And I was immediately obsessed with the cleverness of the writing and the fact that it was pretty hard horror. Like you said, Steve, like it was a little surprising to me, but also really funny. Like it just seems like perfect in every aspect. I love this show. I think it's great. And I'm really excited to dig into what I love about the writing so much. That brings us to episode one. I think it's called Pilot.
Yep.
Which is a clever name. I honestly,
so unique.
Didn't they steal that from Lost?
Because of the plane. But because of the plane, like content of it, makes me think it's maybe like an extra smile there.
Yeah.
Who knows? I think there's actually, if you would think about it, is three timelines in this episode, Steve, or probably throughout the show.
Yeah. I agree.
Cause there's the 1996 before the flight, and then there's the 2021, you know, after they're rescued. And then there's, you know, like what I call the savage timeline in my notes, where they're just around the fire.
Like the post-crash in the forest.
Like the Lord of the Flies part. Exactly. And there's some things in this episode that just make it like there's a mystery element.
Oh, for sure.
I love a good mystery.
I want to know what's going on behind them robes.
What's going on? I will say it was nominated for 7 Emmys as well. And I have a question at the end. Remind me, there's a question for you guys that I have that's Yellow Jackets themed that I thought would be really fun. Okay? Like
at the end of the recap or at the end of everything?
No, at the end of this episode, recap. So we open with a girl running through a spooky, snowy forest. Super spooky and snowy. She's like barefoot and shit. Obviously not. She's out of sorts. She's not in a good way because she didn't bring her shoes. She's being harassed by what I think are fake animals. It sounds like a crowd of teenagers making like caw-caw noises.
Oh yeah, there's
right?
definitely yeah. someone it, doing the Raven.
Yeah,
the theater production. Ah!
Yeah, it sounds like they are quote unquote hunting this woman. That's they're what like I got yeah,
and they're having fun with it. Like torturing her, right? Like. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of like you do. So she falls in a pit, is impaled by stakes, and immediately this is like within, I don't know, a minute and a half, maybe not even that long. And then we see like her fingers twitching. It zooms in on that a little bit. We get a close up of that.
Gruesome.
And then we see a golden heart necklace, which is important for later. Mm-hmm. And then a creepy primitive costumed person peeks in, just seems to be staring at her curious. And then it cuts. To the present day, multiple people being interviewed about missing girls and a plane crash. And some pretty funny, was that the principal? that was like, I shouldn't say this, but most kids, if they died, not a huge loss.
Yeah.
Yes,
it was. Like, well, those girls were champions.
Those girls were
they
champions.
They showed their worth by playing a ball.
Yeah. So,
this town playing sucks. The sports ball. And that play,
but so, you know what's sad? That's most principals in the Midwest.
No, spot on, almost satire, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then the reporter comes back later, but it's her asking these questions. And so basically the entire episode oscillates mostly between 2021 and 1996 with a little bit of like early 97 or whatever splashed in there. So the first scene is the 1996 scene with Jackie, scoring a goal with a header, I believe that's called. I'm not a European football guy.
I believe so, yeah.
I've seen Ted Lasso, so yes.
Yeah, that's a header. She definitely wasn't offsides. We've watched enough Ted Lasso to kind of know the rules.
They call it into touch.
That's right. And then we get this Steve's famous buzz chant.
Buzz.
I loved that scene. I liked how it really showed the in sync, the teamwork of all of them. And you kind of get introduced to all of the younger women during that game. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, I really like that scene.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with watching the second time, all the tiny things that they do to characterize how these women are as adults and like who their character is as a person, like all the little nuggets and extra tidbits. They show their reactions to certain situations that are seemingly inane, but like do great work in characterizing them for later and foreshadow and stuff. So they win the game. That was a state game. They're the New Jersey state champions. They're going to nationals now. Everybody's excited, right? And then we get a cool needle drop. I'm sure we'll talk about later. And then we cut to Jeff and Jackie at what I believe is third base. It's been a while since my baseball years, but I believe that's third base.
We call it into touch.
He's definitely offsides.
Oh, yeah, that guy's definitely offsides.
And you know,
I didn't like Jeff immediately.
Jackie's not wanting any part of this, but she can't get out of it gracefully, so she decides to fake an orgasm.
Yep.
And then in a hilarious turn of events, when she feels like, okay, thank God it's over, he goes, my turn.
And then my favorite is he says, my turn. And then it's just excessive teeth brushing.
Jackie in the bathroom. Yeah. Cuts to Jackie brushing her teeth.
Poor girl.
And we see that Jackie's wearing that heart necklace that the girl in the pit was wearing. Mm-hmm. And then
was Jackie in the pit?
Well, that's what's so great about this show, Steve. And, I remember this. This is what hooked me the first time was that fucking necklace, because I'm like, oh no, this character I'm just now getting to know gets like slaughtered later. That sucks. And then you never see adult Jackie, right? In this first episode, being interviewed by the reporters or her point of view or anything like that. Okay. So it's like, damn, she's definitely that, you don't even question it until later on the plane when she hands it to Shauna. Yep. But you know, Shauna's alive as an adult. So all of a sudden it's, whoa, who's wearing the necklace?
Playing with us.
Yes.
A lot of I love it.
It's fucking brilliant. But anyway, she's wearing the necklace.
Do something like that in Lord of the Flies? It's been a while since I've read that book, but wasn't there like an object that people handed to each other?
Just the conch.
The conch. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
You got to have a conch if you're stuck on an island.
Yeah.
How is she going to have a hierarchy?
And then they killed, then they killed Piggy. It was sad.
Let's not talk about Piggy right now. I'm not ready.
Sorry to spoil Lord of the Flies.
They all read it as mandatory in eighth grade, I think. at least in America. We cut to Shauna.
There's one seventh grader that listens to the show.
Damn it. Shauna, her friend, is waiting outside in the car. And eventually she sees Jeff sneaking out and kind of shakes her head. And then Jackie hops in the car and switches the song that she's listening to something else.
Which is Informer by Snow.
Yeah, that's a banger.
I would rap some for you, but I don't.
Go ahead.
No.
Please do.
No.
You cannot open up a can of worms like that, man.
DJ Marty B, drop that beat.
I don't have the lyrics in front of me. Drop a beat for me, Christopher.
That's fair. I don't either.
My name's Marty B, and I'm here to say I'm going to kill kids in a clever way.
But yeah.
Nice.
But. Well, we got to hear Madison rap next episode. She's going to come prepared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole car ride, they talk about, we get the impression, it's pretty overt actually, that Jackie fully intended to break up with Jeff by now. And Shauna was encouraging that, like, right. What happened to no distractions before nationals? Right. And then she said, well, I don't want to go to college a virgin. Right. And she says, Jeff's a virgin, in a questioning way. Pretty sure he's not. Pretty sure I fucked him.
Yeah.
We find that out later, but at this scene, it's just a little, the writing is so good. Yeah. And then
he seems like the type.
Yeah.
So, yes. So like, I didn't even think anything of it at first at this part of the episode when she's like, is he? It's like, girl, don't trust that boy.
Yeah. Steve didn't like him. And there's,
he's too pushy.
Jeff.
His name's Jeff. He's too pushy.
If it was spelled G-E-O-F-F, I might trust him.
It's different, yeah.
But I had the subtitles on.
He would not
on.
Have those abs if he had if he spelled his name like that.
Yeah, Geoff.
Geoff.
I love that. Geoff. What's up, Geoff? My guy, Geoff. So they're supposed to go to Rutgers together. They've got these plans. Jackie's thinks it's set in stone. I've got the quote, no offense, written down. I don't know why. I'm sure that was a funny joke I wanted to talk about.
I think it was because they drove past a sign that was, go boys baseball team. Like, oh, they suck. No offense or something like that.
Maybe.
What it was?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
They were, Jackie was upset that everybody was like celebrating the boys team, which yeah. had zero success. And the girls soccer team was undefeated going to nationals.
Yeah.
Which
is fair.
Because during the pep rally, it's obviously the school is very like prideful in the soccer team. But it's the community that doesn't give a shit about the women's soccer team.
I guess so. Yeah. Because at the pep rally, like nobody claps for the boys and even the principal, whoever that is like, you tried anyway.
Yeah. Next year.
Our pride and glory. And the kids, all the guys are just standing like, well, we didn't even win a game, but we're boys.
What even is baseball?
Opiates are rampant in my neighborhood. It's the Midwest in the 90s. I hope it gets better soon. Sorry, it doesn't. And then we cut back to 2021 and we see older Shauna, played by Melanie Lynskey, masturbating, I think, to the way her husband used to look. Is that what that is?
Like, I thought it was a photo of her daughter's boyfriend.
It is a photo of her daughter's boyfriend.
It is. Okay.
Because yeah.
It looks like her daughter's room, but I didn't want to go there.
She's, you know, doing a quickie while she's, you know, doing her mundane chores around the house.
Was she doing it to the daughter's boyfriend, or was she kind of like looking around and happened to zero in?
I took it as she was doing it to the boyfriend, because the interaction then they have later between Shauna and her daughter's boyfriend is a little awkward to me. Like,
where he says, hey, you look hot or whatever.
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, she definitely was jerking off to him.
Yeah. 100%. And I think that characterizes her in like she misses her youth and what could have been kind of way is the way I interpret that. I just want to make sure, because sometimes I'm off base. Like,
I think that's fair. I mean, we definitely get to learn that a lot of these women definitely had their youth stolen from them.
Yeah.
To some extent.
The boyfriend reminds, his name's Kyle, of course. He reminds me of the boyfriend in Pineapple Express. Amber Heard's boyfriend. Do you remember that character where he comes up to Seth Rogen and he said something about his funny joke? And then Amber Heard's like, I almost peed my pants. And he's like, oh, I wish. And then Seth Rogen like frowns like that's the guy. He means well, but he's a super goober.
I thought he looked like Timothée Chalamet with a weaker jaw.
Oh,
you can't have as strong of a jaw as Timothée.
I know.
I mean, they don't make them like that. They broke the mold at Timothée.
His jaw broke the original spelling of his name, Timothy. That's how strong his jaw is.
My immediate thought was, Callie could do so much better. That was my immediate thought.
Yeah. But she's not into those meaningful conversations.
I guess. Yeah, she's
about
not.
About meatloaf.
No.
We'll get there soon, though.
I'll talk to Melanie Lynskey about meatloaf.
As soon as she's done masturbating to high schoolers. And then we cut back to, I mean, I'm just reading in the text.
Yep.
And I even put old room. I was trying anything to like make it okay in my mind. Like, is that her old room?
Oh,
why does she have it dressed up that way still?
My notes in the moment change rapidly over the course of 30 seconds. Yeah. Like, in a room masturbating to, no, that's not what's happening.
I just really hope it wasn't her daughter's vibrator. That's what I hope it was.
You made it worse.
I know.
I didn't think you could do that.
I know. I thought about it and I said it.
Like, she was just cleaning and just, okay. I'm not going to go down that road.
I think she used her own.
Yes.
I'm saying she used her
own. She's a responsible adult.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Why did she go in there? Again, she's missing the youth. She missed the youth.
She was doing laundry.
And then we cuts to her right after the masturbation. It cuts to her getting shit stains out of her husband's boxers. Am I correct?
Yep.
I believe that's what that was. And then she goes outside. She's checking. She finds that some rabbit's been chewing on some of her hydrangeas. I don't know what the fucking bushes. I could have rolled with it, though. I don't think Steve's an herbalist.
You could have said hydrangeas and I'd be like, show.
Wow. Show, Chris, man. Is very knowledgeable.
I didn't know you were a botanist.
And Jessica Roberts, the reporter, walks up and starts trying to interview her and says, hey, basically, give me 5 minutes and you can change your mind later. I promise. But, you know, I want to tell your story. Tries to sell her on something. Right. And Shauna's very guarded, but she lets her in the house. Mm-hmm. And she's like, look, there's not much to the story. A bunch of my friends died. We starved for 19 months and then we got rescued. That was it. Right. And then the reporter says, and this is where we're learning tidbits, but we don't get like Steve's first viewing. He didn't know what the fuck she's even talking about yet. Really cool. Right. At this point in the
so cool. People dying.
So good. Steve's like, I'm in. There's a vibrator. People are dead.
I wish I was that cool in high school.
There's skid marks. Everything I love about TV and film in this already.
All here.
Hope a guy named Kyle shows up and I'll be set for life. But she says, look, I'll give you a 7-figure book advance to tell your story about what happened while you were stranded. And she said, no, I'm not interested. What if I told you the others were? Tries to bait her like a bad cop move, like an interrogation. Mm-hmm. And she said, I would call you a liar. So she said, oh, so you are still in touch. So she's very inquisitive, a little too inquisitive. And then she hits her where it hurts. Like, hey, you were a straight A student, an astonishing athlete, mm-hmm. early admission to Brown. Is this how you thought your life would be? I bet you clean shit stains out of your husband's underwear and masturbate in your daughter's room. I bet that's how your life is. And she's like, what?
No.
Definitely don't.
Not today.
Not just now.
Why would you say that? Get out of my house.
And then we see a lot about Shauna pretty quickly, though, that she's not to be fucked with.
Calls very, very telling.
Smug little bitch.
Yeah.
Like she almost choked her out right there.
I wish she did.
Was there something with a U.S. magazine? Or People Magazine?
I saw
Us,
that.
It's Us Weekly.
Us Weekly?
I think, I don't know what was on. Was it her friend?
Really quickly.
Thaisa?
Maybe it was her. I thought there was something important on the cover.
To be honest, I saw that they you know, panned to that. Yeah. Had a section of that. I didn't look too far into it. Maybe I'll revisit and look.
I only, in my head, I went, they did that for a reason. I didn't see what it was. And then later I was like, I bet Thaisa was on it. Yeah. That's all I thought of.
Because unless, going back to the conversation, you know, maybe the reporter said, oh yeah, I've talked to some of the others or whatever. Right. Maybe it was in reference to that. I don't know.
I was trying to think of which one would be on a tabloid and Thaisa is pretty much the only one.
Yeah.
That's famous at all.
What does Natalie do?
Drugs.
Could she be in there because like she's a back in rehab?
Maybe, but I don't think they have like that kind of celebrity status.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong.
One of the airplane, however many, rehab again.
It's Misty on the cover, you know, posing with her.
Yes.
Christina Ricci.
Her scrubs. Yeah. So yeah, then the Jessica Roberts, the reporter, just leaves her card and says, if you change your mind, call me. I will give it to her. I don't really like her character at this point, right? But she holds her composure, mm-hmm. drops a business card. And she works for the Star Gazette or something like that. Shauna later calls bullshit on that. Mm-hmm. And then we get a quick scene of Natalie, played by Juliette Lewis, meditating in a rehab and being called to group. Cut back to 1996. The body, I assume, that was in the pit of stakes is now naked, being hoisted by its feet. Everyone back in their savage costume, still basically gutting it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a butcher. I'm sure there's a term for what's going on right now.
Yeah, they're letting all the blood out.
But to me, it's just stabbing the body. Yeah, they're slaughtering it. Sure, sure. Cutting up giblets and I don't know.
Giblets.
I try to think of like a meat name, you know?
I want a leg.
Rump.
I'll take a thigh. Mm-hmm. And I know that Misty over there, she wants a breast.
For sure.
Yeah.
It cuts back to 2021 and people are this is in Natalie's rehab. People are sharing in the group. And you know, about whack inane shit.
Wendy's got some rage issues. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Jamba Juice. Yeah,
she cut her in line.
Yeah. Think about that, Steve. You can't just let that happen. Everybody's going to think they can just cut.
I love how she's like, cause I love when she's like, well, I want to know what the answer is because I got a misdemeanor felony. And I'm here. What was I wrong? And the therapist is like, well, I'm not really going to answer you.
I'm not paid for that. Natalie, you've been here several times. Why don't you answer it?
Keep the tiger in the cage.
Yeah, to keep the tiger in the cage. It's her last day. We find out she tells everybody that, you know, they need to find a purpose. You know, after all the things I went through, everything that I did, and then some girl
what
cuts
did you
in.
Do?
You never even told us, which I think is kind of funny. It's kind of tongue in cheek, like mm-hmm. because you know that the audience still doesn't have any idea what went on the island either, or the in the forest. I keep thinking it's an island, but it's not.
But it also helps show that they all aren't talking about what went down. That's why there's so much interest in their stories.
Yep. They have like a set thing they all agreed on that's really vague and no reporters are satisfied.
What I also want to in the woods stays in the woods. You know what I'm saying?
Does a bear shit in the woods? I don't know. Nobody will tell me.
I can't speak to that. I can neither confirm nor deny even a bear.
That's fair, buddy. I also want to point out the kind of place that Natalie's in, that costs like 10 grand a week minimum. Mm-hmm. So she's in a very, very fancy rehab. It's on the high end of this, but it cuts back to 1996 and we meet Natalie, young Natalie rather, drink. And by Steve, do you recognize her?
No.
Her name is Sophie
Thatcher.
Thatcher. Sophie she was Thatcher. In, Book of Boba Fett, I think.
She's the redhead speeder bike.
The
girl?
Colorful motorcycles that everybody, all the Star Wars fans loved.
Oh, she's one of those. I forget that character.
She's one of those.
Whose name escapes me.
Methinks I liked them more because I had already seen Yellow Jackets. Mm. And I was like, hey, Natalie. But so maybe watch it again. You'll love it. But anyway, young Natalie drinking with friends, trying to buy drugs. We get that vibe. I got How'd one's name. One of his names was Rich. I didn't catch the other guy's name though. So it's Natalie Rich and question mark guy. And then
was
some
Rich,
like,
was Rich the tall guy or the short guy?
I think he's the taller guy.
I love this group of friends.
Yes. Okay. These are my favorite.
These are like the people I hung out with the most. Yes. In
same
school.
Yes.
Minus the drugs.
I love the guy. This crushed me. I was laughing so hard. He pulls up and is like, I'm not a car guy, but it's like a two-door thing. It's like a coupe. I know that.
Camaro.
It's a muscle. Yeah, it's like a Camaro.
It's a nice like sports car in the 90s. Yeah.
Hey, show us your tits. And then Natalie's friend's like, if you really want to see him, and
he does
the truffle shuffle.
Yeah, basically.
I'm
glad that's where you were going. Cause if you, what if you weren't, you were like, what?
I
no.
I was trying to think of the character's name. He did the truffle shuffle. Yeah.
And it's such a 90s jock response, like, oh, male titties. Ooh. I'm going to kick your ass. I was
talking about her. And then
think about that later.
Natalie throw.
Better not awaken anything in me.
I'm going to hate episode 3 of The Last of Us in 20 years. This is going to make me feel things again.
Oh, no. But yeah, she throws a bottle at their car as they drive away.
Yeah, Natalie, they're going to kick our ass. It's like, not if they can't catch us. But
they're
like,
in a car.
Yeah. She's also a soccer player, and they're clearly like not athletic.
Yeah.
Grunge boys.
I wonder what happened there because it cuts away. We don't get to see what happens.
But I like to think Rich got his ass beat.
but he doesn't have like a black eye or anything later on.
Yeah,
but that would have been funny if like later on the party one of them has a black eye. Like, oh, he didn't get away.
Well, that's what I was going to say is they were at the party. So, mm-hmm. you know,
they all got away.
There wasn't. Yeah.
Because Natalie was thinking, I don't have to be, I just have to be faster, not the slowest. That's her only goal, right? And I know I'm not.
That's how some people survive the zombie apocalypse. You just don't want to be the slowest person in the room.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the fastest, you just don't want to be the slowest.
And then it cuts to the locker room of the Yellow Jackets team singing and dancing. You going to rap for us?
So many, the Shoop by Salt and Pepper. Steve did it for me. He stole my spot. I was a high school athlete. So when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, that immediately brought back so many memories. And I loved it. Even though it was a very small, short portion, I just was like, yeah, that's exactly what me and my teammates would do in the locker room.
Was there a lot of salt and pepper in the locker room?
Not salt and pepper, more like
Ying Ying Twins.
Like Far East Movement, maybe Katy Perry, you know, typical 2012, 2016.
Are they going to hear you roar?
Later on. Again, you guys keep taking all the moments from me, but no. But yeah, I loved that scene. It was so fun. Mm-hmm.
This one's a little salt and pepper, and they're all having a good time though. They seem to be really close, united. They're all excited to go to nationals, and this is before a practice. And then Jackie's giving a pep talk, I think, to Allie,
Who's
a freshman who really wants to go to prom, but now she has to go to nationals and play instead. Yep. Right. Is that the vibe?
Yep.
So she's trying to give her a pep talk about that. And Vanessa, who goes by Van, tries to chime in and cheer her up as well. But then Allie's really rude to her. And it's like, well, nobody asked you to prom, so why would you care? But Van takes it well, I felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, okay, you're done. Oh. You're done.
Allie was being a little bee.
Yeah. You'll grow up.
Allie's just trying to help her.
Allie's a bitch.
That would have hurt my feelings for like 6 weeks.
Get him, Madison.
He's a bitch.
Off the chain.
Yeah.
And Lottie even says, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, karma catches up quickly with probably too harshly with Allie. A little
bit, yeah. Hey, silver lining, she can still go to prom now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
In a wheelchair.
Or at least a really... like leg cast, whole leg cast.
Yeah.
Have those.
Regina, Georgia, show up in a back brace and
embrace it.
Yeah.
Get it.
And try to make fetch happen. Uh-huh. So then, and then Jackie gets called away by the coach, and he sits her down and he gives her like the worst pep talk of all time. Like, you're not the best player. You're not the fastest. You're not the smartest.
You're probably the worst with money.
Yeah. Yeah, he sells her all kinds of shit.
You're not very smart. You don't know how to change a flat tire.
Unlike Allie, nobody asked you to prom. However, you do have the most influence. Like he tells her why she's the captain. Like she's, you're here to lead these people, guide them, corral them, if you will, not because you're the strongest and best, which I actually thought ended up being a good speech. You know what I mean? In a weird way. That makes sense for my idea of like true leadership is like that, because when I was running the pizza shop, but way back in the day, I used to tell my crew that like, you guys are all better than me at every individual thing. Like you can roll dough faster. You can slap pizzas better. Like you're better at whatever the fuck else we did back then. But like my job is to know who is the best in each area. And like, I'm really good at that. That's my thing. Right. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense for like what a leader is. I've never been on a sports team. So that was me like comparing it to my restaurant experience. Like, yeah, that's what leaders do.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it was a continuous theme of Jackie trying to be a leader in several situations in this episode. Yeah. And I always felt like she fell a little short.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And so I don't know if it's necessarily the speech has anything to do with it, or if it's, she just lacks this natural ability to be a leader.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause the show does kind of paint her as someone who's not very strong in that role.
Mm-hmm.
Like she kind of half succeeds a few times at this leadership thing, but fails epically or has a false start. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of,
she doesn't truly know her teammates as well.
Yes. True.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, as someone who doesn't know where the show is going, I thought the lack of a adult Jackie was like, oh, so she's the glue that's just barely keeping everybody together, and something's going to happen to her, and without her, everyone's going to fall into infighting, and that's what happens on the snowy mountaintop, right? I don't know if that's the case, but that's what I was getting from her leadership role in this episode.
Yeah,
that's a fair assessment of the information you have, Mr. Steve.
But it's probably completely wrong.
I don't know.
Well, I think also too, because you said, or maybe Steve, you said this, she doesn't know her players or her teammates very well. I think it's just her lack of trying to get to know or try to understand these people. I think she's too caught up in herself.
Yeah, she's self-absorbed.
Yes, which I think can also be very telling in her relationship with Shauna as we get further into the episode.
Sure. I think it's very insightful. So yeah, he basically tells her she's the influencer, which doesn't exist yet, but that's a really good role for her to have in the future. Lots of free stuff from Instagram. And then we cut to the pep rally. And this is when the boys get no applause, and the staff kind of, okay, good job, push them off. And then the Yellow Jackets, the New Jersey State champions,
buzz,
run out.
Buzz, buzz, buzz,
baby.
And what song was during that?
Oh, I wrote them all down for later just to list. I don't know.
It was Good Vibrations. Marky Mark.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Classic.
Classic.
Song. Whatever did happen to those Wahlbergs? I thought they were going to go somewhere.
Oh, they make burgers now.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Locally. The Wahlbergs. Have you ever had one?
Yeah, they're either terrible.
I've not had one, no.
Are they?
They're terrible.
Really? That makes me sad. I love a good burger.
It's like you have burger in your name and you can't even do... you know,
yeah.
the one thing.
Hey, yeah. Guys, we need to get together and make some burgers. That's what we gotta do. We don't do the rapping thing anymore. We gotta take an interest in burgers.
Well, they could build brick walls.
Are you telling me that this is a Transformer?
What a Pokemon car.
That's my marking mark.
I like it.
But you see Misty during that scene just going absolutely apeshit. She's so excited.
She's
so excited.
She puts the pep and pep rally
at Misty. Yeah.
Played by Samantha Hanratty, I think is how you pronounce that, who I love. I think she's incredible. Like the spiritual core of this show and how wild it is, I think, is Samantha Hanratty, mixed with a healthy dose of my queen, Christina Ricci, of course. Yeah. But just the character of Misty, I think, is what takes this show from like a 9 to a 10. And I had no experience with Samantha before this because I didn't watch Shameless. She had a pretty like later season character on Shameless, but I stopped watching Shameless after like season four.
Yeah, I fell off it after like season six, but this was my first experience with this actress.
And yeah.
I loved her.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
Yeah.
So it cuts back to 2021 and we see Shauna watching some like Jeopardy type shit. And answering a question correctly. And then the person on the TV
Paradise Lost.
Does not get it. And she's like, dumb bitch. You know? This is a really endearing scene for me because I'm an arrogant piece of shit as well. Like I don't iron, but if I did, this is how I would do it. Making fun of
just
other people.
Just burn it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't do it.
Yeah.
But then that leads to a Senate campaign ad for Taissa.
Mm-hmm. Taissa Turner.
Who's running for Senate.
And then it cuts to Taissa and her family having some kind of PR session, getting photos taken. Kid's not having it. He needs some Miss Rachel to keep him occupied for
there
sure.
It is. Yes. There it is. There's the reference.
I told you I'd plug it. And then even the photographer hints, though, like that they're people don't know much about what happened to them while they were stranded. But what there is rumors of bad things. Right. So not that I believe any of those nasty stories. He just drops that in there. And Taissa gets very uncomfortable and says, let's just focus on the present. Right. Shit. Like he gives one of those political quotes. Soundbite. Yeah.
Yeah. And what I noticed, too, is there's clear tension between Taissa and her wife.
Yeah.
In a sense. I don't know. She just was uncomfortable being at the shoot. Like it's not, you know, she's not used to the attention.
Yeah. It's not her vibe.
Yeah.
I have to agree with that. Also, the photographer called her queer Kamala.
I know.
Like, why would he say that to her? That's mean.
I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's mean.
Is he calling her a cop?
Just tone down. that's offensive.
I took note of that as well. I just was like, you know, I'm not a woman of color, but I could imagine not being very pleased with that comparison.
I can imagine it.
Yeah.
It cuts back to 1996 timeline. And they're all in a circle on the pitch. I believe it's called a pitch. And they're talking about Allie and how bad she sucked in the previous game. And this is the girl that wanted to go to prom, the freshman.
She choked.
So they start talking about freezing her out, just never giving her the ball, not giving her an opportunity to fuck the game up. And everybody but Natalie is at least somewhat on board with this plan. Mm-hmm. And Jackie's not present for this, right? So Natalie storms off.
Wasn't Lottie wasn't super into it either, I think.
Yeah, but they'll fall in line with the herd.
Yeah.
Is what it seemed like to me.
It seemed like
Natalie was definitely
like, no, I don't want that's we're being assholes if we do that.
And Shauna was hesitant.
Shauna, I think, was how do we do that? Why, whatever. And then Lottie doesn't seem comfortable with it.
Right.
I think she verbalized that she doesn't seem comfortable with the decision.
Lottie, short for Charlotte, I realized for the first time ever.
Yeah. Did you not know that?
Interesting.
I mean, sure, it's a common name and everybody knows that. I'm just being honest. My truth.
Oh, wow. I always thought you called that people Charlotte Charlie.
I'm sure you could. Rich Dick situation.
It's a twofer. You can use both.
Or like Bob and Rob.
Yeah, because my dad's name is Robert, but people call him Bob.
Yeah, but they could call him Rob.
They could.
Actually, I think
they could call him Alan.
Quick. you can do whatever you want.
Literally, my brother's name is Robert, but he's called Alan.
Is his middle name Alan?
No.
Interesting. Okay. Well, unlike Steve's unique friend here, that's usually, Lottie, Charlotte. It can be Lottie or Charlie. Yeah.
My name's Chris. I go by Eugene.
That's right. You heard me.
Just like Madison can be Maddie or, you know.
Mad.
Yeah. Which.
Anybody call you mad? Other than when you're angry?
Madison's pretty standard for me. Mm. I don't like my best friend's name is Maddie.
Anybody call you son? What's the other?
Isson.
Like a Lottie.
Come yeah. Isson.
We can start that now. Hey, son.
Oh, my God.
What up, Isson?
Back on the pod, Isson.
Well, this is my one only episode for this series. So.
I don't blame you. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. You know, times are tough. We just got through COVID, right? Everybody's been stuck in their homes for years. We're readdressing life itself. We don't know what's going on. We know that we need to get to the gym. I know I do. I know I need to eat healthy. I got to take vitamins. I got to take minerals. I got to go get a physical every 6 months or so. Sometimes I do it every 2 or 3 years just to see what'll happen. But I know that I need to do it. But it's easy to sweep mental health under the rug. It's the only illness that tells you that you don't have it. And it's really difficult to start looking into. You know, you got to drive. Where do you find a therapist? Is there a therapist store? I don't know of one, but there is an app called BetterHelp that'll help link you with a therapist to suit all of your needs. You can shop through hundreds, nay, thousands of different therapists and find one that helps you get through the day, that helps you address the problems that you're having. And if at any time you feel like they're not, you can easily switch therapists or stop at any time. Mental health has never been easier to access than it is with BetterHelp. Our own host, Steve, has been using it ever since we started being sponsored by BetterHelp, and he says that it has helped him immensely. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/streamingthings. So yeah, they're talking about freezing her out, and Thaisa is very insistent. She's the insistent one. She's leading this charge, right? So it cuts to practice. Coach Scott, which is like the assistant coach, I believe, and Misty are standing at the front. Loralee, good old Loralee, wants a quick prayer. And Coach Scott's like, Loralee, it's just a scrimmage. It's just a practice. We don't need to pray. And she's like, you know what? Go ahead and pray. So she leads the team.
Oh, well, good thing I'm practicing my faith.
Yeah. Gives her a good practice prayer.
Oh, my goodness.
So then the practice happens, and Thaisa ends up she switches teams on purpose to the red shirts, and decides to motivate Allie, quote unquote, right? Like giving her a harder time.
This is the game.
And ends up giving her a compound fracture, like the fucking bones sticking out of her leg.
Her
right?
Shin.
Ooh. Yeah. Shin pad did not help.
It was tough. And you know, soccer's a rough sport. There's a
it
lot
is
of kicking.
A rough sport. I played soccer for many years. So
what was your take on, because Thaisa.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Kind of walks up a little horrified looking at what she's done. And she seems shell-shocked afterward in the locker room. But what's your take on her intentions here?
I don't think she meant to break her leg. I don't think she truly meant that. She wanted to roughhouse her for sure. But there's a little bit when she kind of shoulders her or something. And mm-hmm. she's like, this is the game. And then yeah. Allie gets away from her. And
yeah, she was actually doing
finally,
it.
Finally, she did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it wouldn't make sense. I don't think it makes sense for her to be like, oh, finally, she's actually doing what I want her to do. Let me break her leg.
Sure.
I think she was just playing and just truly accidentally snapped her leg. Or if she did mean to hurt her, she didn't mean to hurt her that bad. Because I think I think kids, when you're young, you've done something that maybe you never intended it to be that bad. And you do have that look like, oh no, this got out of hand. I didn't want this.
Yes.
Not like this.
Like I can remember, I have a temper, especially as a kid. I can remember like pushing people off the slide and stuff like that. And then, you know, they
long live the king.
I wasn't like a bully. I was like the picked on kid that would snap.
Yeah.
But then it's that exact feeling that you're talking about. Like, it's like,
yeah,
they're going to get up and then respect me now. But instead they like hit their head against the pole scream and you're like, oh, I'm in trouble.
I think when you're a kid and you get angry, it's like, you don't really know how to compartmentalize that anger. And so the only way that you know how to like express it is through physical violence, unfortunately.
Sure. Violence.
But my take on that, and I don't know if this is jading because I've seen the whole show, but I think there's two sides to Taisha. And I think one part of her really did want to hurt her. And I think another part didn't. And
I was shocked at her own actions.
Yeah. And so I think because we have now this idea of her violence, or at least we know the level of to what her violence can be, it's kind of like, maybe she did intentionally mean to do it, or she didn't think that she intentionally meant to do it.
I understand what you're saying.
I think she's conflicted.
She's a complex character, but it shows the audience she's capable of stuff that even she doesn't think she's capable
I think going back to my first time watching this, I think my initial thought was she did not intentionally mean to hurt her.
Right. And what I love about this scene is my girl Misty runs up immediately, kind of put pressure on it, and just pushes on the snapped bone. And they're like, Misty, get the fuck out of here. I love it so much.
And I don't know if it's just, there's always that one person, but I do remember in high school there was that one person that we were just all like, you really had to fucking go there. You really had to fucking do that. Like, I don't know.
There was a Misty?
Yeah, a little bit. Not necessarily like team manager, but there was definitely somebody that would be like,
they're over eager. Maybe they don't quite know socially what's going on.
Yes.
Every group I feel or like.
Or it was just,
that.
And I don't know if this was just women.
It was me.
I don't know if it was just women culture in high school sports, or maybe it's just specifically the team I played on, but there was always like, the team always knew this one person. We were like, the tag along or sure. I don't know. Yeah.
But guys have those too.
Okay.
In the guys' world, those guys pee at the urinals with their pants around their ankles, which is really awkward for the rest of us.
Okay.
You know that guy.
I was that guy. I shared a story like that on the Discord a couple days ago.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't sports related, but.
I bet.
It was shorts going around the ankles related.
Were you really the shorts and the ankles guy?
No.
Oh. Okay. I didn't want to, you know.
Thank God.
But yeah, that's a thing. And then when you're, you know.
I'm learning so much.
You go in the guy's bathroom, you're like, what's up, man?
What are you doing?
That's not the strategy.
There's three stalls and you're at the far end one and he stands in the middle one right by you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time. Anyway. But there's not even stalls. There's
a really weird, weird locker room. I might have shared this on the pod before, but there's the weirdest locker room interaction I ever had in like a men's locker room in high school was there's this guy. He was a Misty, right? He was a little off, nice enough dude, but socially awkward.
Red Dawn.
It wasn't that one guy. But no, we were doing swimming. So we had a pool at our school and we were back in the locker room changing. And out of the corner of my eye, I'm on the bench, sitting on the bench, like tying my shoes.
I remember this.
Out of the corner of my eye, I see his shoe on the bench as well. Like he's like doing like a Captain Morgan pose to tie his shoes.
Oh no.
And he starts talking to me and I see out of the corner of my eye, he's tying his shoe. So I'm like, oh, let me see what this guy wants. I look over and he's like Donald Duck in it. He's got like shirt, nothing, shoes.
Donald Duck in it.
That is traumatizing.
And I was just like, gah. And I was like, dude, you put your shoes on before your pants?
Or undies?
Oh.
Weird choice.
But this was in high school?
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I love that for you, Steve.
I'm so sorry. How's therapy?
It was my first penis.
How's therapy for you? Is it treating you well?
Better help is there for us when we need to be a better person. When we want to solve some problems, help is there.
It'll get you there.
It'll get you there.
There you go. That's the copy they told us to say.
But yeah, Misty trying to be helpful isn't so helpful in that moment.
But like, there's something, shin. There's something charming about her too, even though like psychotic, but charming, like, and maybe it's just how good Christina Ricci and Sammy Hanratty are. But, and then Jackie gives a weak pep talk that nobody really responds that well to. Natalie storms off for the second time. It cuts back to 2021. This is when we meet Shauna's daughter, Callie, and she comes in, she's texting and not paying attention to her mom, and then gives her shit about the meatloaf. Callie's like, oh, I got plans tonight. Anyway, I'm not eating that. And then Kyle shows up again. Of course, his name's Kyle, kind of flirts with, Shauna. Mrs.
Like,
Shipman.
Hey, looking good. What did she say?
He says something highly inappropriate.
He doesn't say
looking
good.
Hot or something.
Yeah, I think it's looking hot. I was going to say he said looking sexy, but I'm like, nope.
I was just looking at your picture, Kyle. What's up? And then Kyle and Callie leave. Cuts back to 1996, and it's Shauna and Jackie prepping for the party, and they're all like finding something to wear, right? And Jackie tries to hook her up with a guy named Randy Walsh, and Shauna's getting really upset. Like, she's picking out my clothes for me. She doesn't like anything I'm wearing.
I hope he messed up if she tried to hook me up with Randy Walsh.
Yeah,
too.
Randy Walsh. When we meet him, it's like, what the fuck's wrong with Jackie? That, like, what a shitty friend.
Like, I thought you were friends.
Yeah,
I was trying to hook her up with that.
Keeps trying to get her wear the red boob dress. Which I think she ends up wearing. She's in a red dress.
Yeah, she has a jean jacket.
Yeah,
over it,
she.
Though.
Yeah.
Oh, she's
so it's not as much boobage.
Yeah, she did it her own way. I get it.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Which I feel like at this point, that particular scene is very telling about both of their relationship.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know,
Shauna obviously loves Jackie, right? Right. Is that a thing I'm getting? Like, she
romantically
Is interested in Jackie.
Oh. I've never interpreted that way.
I don't think so.
Because there's a couple longing gazes, like at the, like I even wrote at the pep rally, like, what did I write? As like, there's something going on between Jackie and Shauna. And then there's a couple other like,
I think what you were picking up on is the guilt that you weren't aware she had until the end of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, and we can, that guilt is coming up. We realize what she's guilty about. But I think, I don't know, you just get a sense that Jackie is kind of controlling a little bit with Shauna, and Shauna's like, I think, cause I don't know if there's any pretext to how long they've been friends, but it sounds like to me that maybe Shauna is now realizing that, you know, she doesn't have to listen to Jackie. And now Jackie has been so used to like telling Shauna what to do. And so maybe Shauna's trying to, I don't want to say get back, but there's definitely this tension of like, I'm going to be my own person and Jackie's not going to tell me how to be, you know, what she wants me to be.
Like, Jackie's like, you're always there for me. And it looks on the outside like Shauna's a terrible person because she's sleeping with her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And we actually find out in a brilliant way through the mix of 2021 and 1996. It's just an offhanded line. But Jackie's like, oh, I'm so excited to go to Rutgers and be in the same dorm room as you. And then in the future, we say, hey, you got an early admission to Brown, is what the reporter said, which is, so Shauna's already planning on, she's not going to the college that Jackie thinks she's going to. I mean, she's lying to her every which way.
Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that, actually.
And she feels like she's outgrown her best friend, and it's awkward.
Doesn't she look at the acceptance letter from
at the end of this episode? Yeah, it like confirms it. Mm-hmm. So she's about to break Jackie's heart in every way. But Jackie's like constantly talking about how Jeff's a dud. I just don't want to go to college single. I'm not in love with him. And I just don't want to be a virgin anymore. And Shauna actually has feelings for him probably. And Jackie seems like the type that's always gotten her way. She's the princess.
Is she married to him in the future?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I saw his photo in the background. I'm like, that guy looks like he could be a Jeff.
Yeah. The family photos reveal when she's going to the safe. It's really well done. It's like, that's fucking Jeff. You know,
he said, that's Jeff.
That's not G-off. That's Jeff.
That's Jeff.
But yeah, so they're prepping for the party. She ends up wearing the boob dress, so she does give in to Jackie. They go to the field party, good old fashioned field party. And Natalie and Rich and them's—I don't remember his last name, the other guy's name. Yeah. But they do get the LSD.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, baby. And I love the guy's line. He's just a stoner. He's like, don't you have to go to like the Olympics or something tomorrow? She's like, yes.
She's like, yes. And then puts it in her mouth.
Yeah. So. Takes a drop of hit acid like you do. We cut back to 2021. Natalie leaving the rehab. She gets a cab, tells him to take her to LAX, the red eye.
How often do people from here go straight to a bar?
Pretty often. You want to go?
nah, I got a red eye.
And we cut back to 1990. And the previous scene, I should say, with Natalie's character, her big speech to the other rehab occupants were you know, you got to find your purpose in life. That's what this is all about. Right. And so she's like, I finally feel like I found my purpose again. We don't know what that is, but it seems like because it's a horror show, not good.
Yeah.
Like not
yeah.
a benevolent oh, thing
later on where it's like, ooh, something bad's happening yes. here.
So when we cut back to 1996 at the party, Shauna's watching Jeff longingly, we think, right? Randy's in the back hitting the beer bong like a douche. Or being extra douchey about it, not he the beer bong.
I dedicate this beer to you, my lady.
My lady. Very romantic.
That's what every woman wants. Yeah. A beer burp.
Mm-hmm. And then Shauna gets wasted, confronts Thaisa about intentionally breaking Allie's leg. And then the girls all start arguing. Randy's in the back, like the good guy that he is.
Get fight.
And then Jackie calls a Yellow Jackets meeting, and everybody surprisingly adheres to that.
I know. Like, I was like, if I heard that at a party, I'd be like, the fuck?
Again, I've never been a part of a sport team, but I would have been like, not invited to the party, A, but B, well, definitely not going to the meeting.
I mean, which one of y'all have gone to state?
That's not
just
me.
Just saying.
Not I.
Not me.
That's the type of camaraderie.
Penitentiary? Oh, the meeting. Okay. The sport thing. And then Jackie, in a really corny Dr. Philly way, decides to say, hey, how about we just say
to feel good about your life.
So I don't know why she used that accent, but then she says, we each need to say one nice true thing about each other. And Laura Lee, of course, God love her, volunteers to go first. And the one nice true thing she decides to start saying about every individual person is that God loves you or something.
You are
like that.
Beautiful in the eyes of the Lord.
That's right. And they're like, all right, Laura Lee, enough from you on the second person. Jackie goes first. She says,
I would hate to be around Laura Lee at all times.
Like, she's way below Misty in my I want to hang out with tier. Like, she's what Madison would call F tier, right?
Yeah.
When are we going to get the Madison ranking of the Yellow Jackets themselves?
Oh,
by the end of season one, maybe?
I could do that. Yeah.
I like that.
I would love that. Shauna ends up apologizing to Thaisa. So Jackie's plan does work. You know, that's what I mean about every now and then her leadership qualities do seem to be somewhat on display.
Yeah.
And Jackie asks Shauna, is like, hey, are we cool? Cause she's getting vibes from her. Right. Like, hey, you're my best friend ever of all time. BFFs. That term hasn't been invented yet, but when it is, I'm going to stick that label's for you. Mm-hmm. Shauna kind of backs off and says, no, we're cool. Everything's fine. Not fucking Jeff or anything weird at all. And it cuts to Natalie tripping balls. And then we see Misty kind of creeping on the party, just off in the, almost in the woods. Just
is she? Yeah. Or was that Natalie's imagination?
I feel like it was really Misty.
Okay.
Who wasn't invited and was just kind of in the woods watching them all. Like, that seems like a very Misty thing. Like, hi guys, just waiting on that phone call.
Well, maybe that makes sense for her. I call it the departure montage when Misty's watching the rat suffer in the pool. Yeah. Maybe she's reminiscing on not being invited to the party.
I like departure montage sums up that sequence very well. We get a quick third timeline at this moment of creepy savages cooking the meat. Cannibals, question mark, right? We can just assume they were eating the person with the necklace in the pit. Mm-hmm. And then back to 1996, Jeff and Jackie dropping Shauna off. And this is very sad for me because Jackie wants to be dropped off first because there's two sides to this, right? Because they have to pass Shauna's house to get to Jackie's, which Jeff points out. So Jackie is A, very selfish. Like, you know how my parents are. They're like, I want to go home first.
Right.
But also trust Shauna to the ends of the earth to be wasted with her, you know, probably buzzed boyfriend, right? And we get that sweet wood paneled station wagon, which is like both hideous and super cool looking at the same time. Yeah. Or am I the only one? Like, I kind of want one.
Station wagon.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of want one.
If I see a station wagon that doesn't have the wood siding, it's like, what are you even doing? Like,
just do a good old fashioned.
Just get a regular car at that point.
Harry and the Hendersons station wagon. Yeah. That's all I want out of my life.
And then those seats in the trunk that probably aren't safe.
And Shauna tells Jeff to pull over and he's like, don't throw up in my car. And they start to make out. And he says, I thought we weren't doing this again, which implies that they've had sex before.
Oh, you mean Jeff's a virgin?
Definitely wink. Not. Wink, wink. Yeah. And she's like, we definitely aren't again. And then she climbs on top of him and says, if you come inside me, I will raise the child out of spite and teach it to hunt you or something along those lines.
And train it to become a killing machine that eventually hunts you down.
Mm-hmm. Standard thing to say, really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you don't have contraception, that's the line.
Yeah. Tell me you love me.
Yeah.
I love this scene. It's very creepy and like not necessarily creepy, but it's there's something very kind of sad and off about it, right? But like, tell me you love me. I won't hold you to
it's
it.
Haunting.
I won't hold you to it.
Yeah.
I just, you know, and And he's like, oh, okay. It's just like a sex thing. Yeah. Jeff's dumb.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it says a lot about Shauna.
Which then, you know, I'm thinking, does Shauna really like this guy? Like, she ends up marrying him, obviously, but then still, I'm like, does she really love him?
I'm confused too, because it seems like you could read it one way. I could. I think it's the way I read it the first time I watched it was just like, she's in love with him and she's trying to play it off. Like, she just wants to hear that. So that's making the sex better for her. Mm. But she also knows that would freak him out. So like, it's okay if I just hear him say it, I know that he doesn't feel it, it's fine. It'll still do some work. Right. Where this time around, I'm like, I don't even know if she just like wants to be loved in general. And like Jeff's there and it's kind of like a revenge to Jackie thing that she's getting off on.
I interpret it as the revenge on Jackie. Mm. And yeah. What were you going to say?
Steve? I think you guys obviously have more context than I do for the rest of the show. But when I was watching it, I thought this was more in line with what I was thinking, was that Shauna loves Jackie. And this was some like messed up way. Like, well, I can't be with her, but I can be with this guy, maybe break them up. Tell me you love me so that she can pretend like, oh, it's Jackie. But maybe I'm like putting too many like of my own dots and thoughts into that. But that's what I was thinking in the moment. But I think you guys obviously have a little bit more context than I do.
Again, I remember less than you would think for how much I love the show.
Yeah.
But we do have some more context. You think she was like pretending the D was a V?
She was getting some sort of pleasure in imagining being with Jackie, yeah. Not Jeff. I mean, he has a J name.
It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's a J name. So then it cuts back to 2021. And this is where Shauna kills the rabbit that's been eating her plants. Mm-hmm. And we see, again, Shauna's not to be fucked with.
On that thing? Have you all seen a rabbit?
She's trained. That's what we're supposed to get from this scene.
She's a savage.
And she knows how to clean and prepare that meat too. She's washing off the blood in the sink, staring at herself in the mirror. And you're like, there's a lot more to this Shauna person than I thought.
Which
was.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but I guess this is one of the Easter eggs. She has a bunch of rabbit statues on her windowsill in her kitchen.
She does.
Which I thought was interesting.
She does indeed.
It's like, do you feel guilty? So you surround yourself with the rabbits or?
I want to see the wabbits, George. and then we see those family photos that we were talking about earlier where it's, oh shit, Shauna's married to Jeff. She goes into the safe in the closet. And she has the reporter's card with her. She pulls out some old journals and stuff and a cell phone, calls somebody. And we find out later it's Thaisa and says, we need to talk. Cut back to 96. Jackie is packing for the trip. And this is the
departure montage.
Yeah. Jackie's packing for the trip. Natalie's, smoking out of the window of her trailer. Laura Lee, of course, praying. What else would she be doing?
Lottie taking some pills.
Charlotte Lottie is taking medicine in a big room with a maid, which I don't remember knowing how rich Lottie was.
Well, her dad paid for the jet.
Which I don't know if you guys caught wind of the medication that she was taking.
I didn't.
Hold on. I have it written down somewhere. But
ibuprofen.
You be what?
So the medicine is... on the bottle says Loxapine, but I think that is a royalty free version of Loxapine, which is an antipsychotic in treatment of schizophrenia.
Okay. So Lottie is schizophrenic.
She's about to be without her pills.
Baby.
Oh no.
So, and I think what I really liked about this departure montage was there's so many visuals snippets of how these women were raised.
Yes.
Clearly, you know, my big takeaway was Van, you know, yeah. She had to slap her mom to wake her up. She's clearly, you know, alcoholic, you know, deadbeat mom.
Something.
But the harsh slap and like shaking of the keys. Hey,
you need to drive me into the airport. Yeah.
Then, you know, Lottie is clearly absent parents, has a maid giving her, you know, breakfast, very luxurious dining room. Laura Lee, very simple, you know, basic bedroom, but praying.
Lottie in a pool.
Misty
in a pool watching a rat suffer to swim, like obviously slowly drowning.
And it's like early
watching it
morning.
Drown.
But she
like
does
super early morning. This is how she began.
That's her
day.
Breakfast. Yeah, but
she
That's
does
her
this,
breakfast. I gotta go make breakfast. She does, and throw this rat in the pool.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but she does the slight head tilt with a smirk, and I was like,
oh yeah,
she's a fucking psychopath.
It's I Sid love from Toy
it.
Story.
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But the one I thought was, again, really telling was Ty, Taisha. They call her Ty. Mm-hmm. But as she's leaving, you know, her mom was like, I can give you a ride. She's like, oh, I already got a ride.
Self-sufficient.
Yeah. And her dad says, the most important thing is to have fun. And I think you can tell by her reaction to that. She's just like, whatever.
You fool.
Yeah.
What like, an F-tier thing to say.
Yes.
In her mind.
But like clearly, you know, expressing her competitive attitude that, you know, she's in it to win it. Like yes. She's not there to have fun. She wants to be the best of the best, win, you know. All that kind of stuff. And then cut to Shauna receiving the acceptance letter from Brown and very unexcitingly just shoves it in a little box. And it's just like, okay.
I think she's hiding it.
Sure.
Like that's her hidey place.
Yeah. I haven't told anybody yet. I'm actually going to an Ivy League school. I'm sure Rutgers is the decent school. But
I get the feeling that she's kept it there for a while. And so she was looking at it before she went on a trip. Like, I'm awesome. I'm going to do this.
I'll tell Jackie on this trip.
Yeah, maybe I'll tell Jackie.
You know? Mm-hmm. Also, I'm fucking Jeff. Not a big deal.
Yeah, no big deal.
But also something else that I feel like we didn't really cover the coach a whole lot. We only saw him in that one scene with Jackie, but there is a little, you know, nod to him departing from, you know, his wife, and he's bringing his two sons with him. Mm-hmm. But
which Javi is the youngest one, right?
I believe so. And Travis is the older mm-hmm. one. And, which, you know, this is the first time we're meeting them. Mm-hmm. But his wife gives him the, like, you know, a little hesitant. He tries to kiss her on the cheek, and, you know, she kind of moves away from him. So you see that there's some tension between.
Yeah. I love how much the show, It goes out of its way to, you've got a huge ensemble cast, and it mm-hmm. goes out of its cast, and it goes out of its way to characterize each and every one pretty deeply. Like, there's a lot of subtext to every relationship.
Yeah.
Really neat. So they board the plane. Lottie's dad, like we said, paid for the private jet. And then Travis doesn't want Javi to sit with him. And he says a very 90s thing. It was almost an Easter egg. It was so 90s. Nuh-uh, butt munch. Like I haven't been called butt munch since Y2K, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. That's so true.
And then, yeah, that's when we meet Javi. The captain's on the speaker, basically just foreshadowing, you know, there's going to be some pretty big storms up ahead. We're going to go much farther north than you might think we should to go to Seattle.
Some people would say it's not safe, but here at the airline, we just want to hope that you get there at a speedy pace.
And then Jackie gives Shauna some Valium, being a very good friend. I know you get stressed on flights. I got you two of these bad boys. And this is that name brand shit. You see the size of my house? You were sitting outside of it waiting on Jeff, you know. Mm. And then Jackie gives Shauna the necklace, which we talked about earlier, which is like a big moment that I really enjoy. And then quickly back to 2021, we see Shauna sitting in a cafe. It goes back to 1996. We see the Valium kicking in, getting a little wonky donkey there. And back to 2021, it's Thaisa meeting with Shauna in the cafe. She slides the business card over there, chastising her for being in the public eye. Like, hey, you're running for like major office. You're on TV and shit. Yeah, what are you doing?
I thought she was calling the reporter. No, she called Ty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't even think about that being what.
Yeah, because like, she was looking at the business card.
We need to talk.
We need to talk. I thought she was meeting her. And then Ty shows up like,
nice.
Intrigue.
Yeah, so there's already like some conspiracy there. Like it's hinting at, they know some crazy shit went down. We agreed to not talk about it, not only say what we have to. And she's like, well, where's Natalie? And she's like, she's in rehab again, right? And no sign of the others, nothing crazy, right? So cool mystery stuff. Cut to Natalie in the modern day, opening a storage bin. It's got a car in it. And it's the kind of car where the engine typically is the trunk. I just think that's interesting. Again, not a car guy.
European car.
Is that what it is? The Europes do that?
I think so.
Inza, y'all are crazy for that. And there's a gun. There's a gun in it, a big hunting rifle. Dave, the manager, pops out just being nosy. Like you imagine the guy who runs a storage bin business would be just mm-hmm. like, I stare at that door all day. Never seen a lady. and it's like, yeah, I'm just here to see old friends. And she says it menacingly after having looked at the gun, right? Mm-hmm. Cut back to the Cannibal Savage timeline, and we see the deer antler with chainmail person is the leader, and they nod so everyone else can eat. And we cut to modern day Misty working in a nursing home. And I know I'm going fast because we're running out of time, but this is a huge part of Misty's character. Yep. She's willing to torture an old lady just for mildly pissing her off, right? Mm-hmm. It's another
fuck with me.
It's another rat in a pool for her.
Yep.
Gloria peed the bed again and then throws the food. So she takes away her morphine. Like, oh, you're going to have a miserable night because you fucked with me.
Have fun.
And I'm not cleaning that up.
Yep.
We also see something that I thought was really important when she says hi to the other shift of workers coming in. They're like, hi, Misty. Like they clearly hate her as well. Like nothing has changed since high school. Yep. She gives off that same vibe.
I love how they give that that rat's nest of hair to Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you can't hide the fact that that's Christina Ricci. Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Fun fact, did you guys know she was pregnant this whole first season when she filmed?
I did not.
Yeah, Good for her.
She was pregnant the whole time.
Wow.
Filming this.
And we do see Natalie though, watching Misty from her European vehicle. And
there's a rifle in that vehicle.
There is.
There is.
Steve. Just want to remind you.
There's a, and back to the Savage timeline, we see that Misty is like the Wookiee.
Or I should say the presenter of the meat tray.
Yes.
That's what I interpret it as.
The meat presenter. But she's got like the bear.
So is she like outfit. The Mr. Shmee to a Captain Hook?
I guess.
Like in this cannibal tribe?
I guess.
Okay.
It's what it seemed like. Yeah.
And then they eat, which is presumably a person. Mm-hmm. And then back to 2021, we see snippets of Shauna's journals. She's going, you know, reminiscing.
And then they found us yet. Where are we?
Yeah. And we cut back to 96, the plane crash or what of it that we get. Laura Lee, of course, praying on the plane. There's always one girl that didn't fasten her fucking seatbelt. She's bouncing around the cabin.
Fucking rolling around.
Your seat, JV.
The only reason I say that is
rookie mistake, man.
I just watched the new Gerard Butler action movie Plane last night.
Oh God.
And there's always a guy that's like, doesn't fasten the seatbelt during the turbulence. Like, oh, I dropped my phone. Like,
when you hear that noise, you put the seatbelt on.
I just keep mine on. Am I the only one the entire flight?
Yeah.
Unless
yeah,
I got to pee. I'm definitely not pooping on a plane. I don't care what happens.
It's going to suck you out.
You'll just shit your pants when the plane crashes.
My colon, TMI, I know, but I'm an overshare. It doesn't work unless I'm at home or somewhere I've been frequently.
Light some candles, put on some Sting.
I'm the guy that's like, yeah, I can be gone for 18 hours. And as soon as I walk in my front door, but it's not going to happen out and about.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that.
I thought you should know that if we're going to do this thing for the next 12 weeks or so.
You guys want to hear how I poop?
And that brings us to the end of the episode, and it's time for our eggies.
Is there a question?
I have a question for you guys really quickly. I know we're out of time. Which character of these women that we have, young girls that we have, Thaisa Turner, Laura Lee, Vanessa Palmer, known as Van, Natalie, Lottie, Misty, and Shauna Shipman. I've noticed they each kind of have their own unique personality. Who do you think you would be if you were in this crew?
Probably Lottie.
That's what I was going to say.
I want to say Natalie, but probably Lottie. Maybe Vanessa. I don't know much about Vanessa yet, so maybe her.
I don't know. I don't have schizophrenia, so I can't say I'm Lottie, but I don't think I was as cool as Nat in high school, but I definitely think in terms of like the decision between when they were having the powwow about what to do with Allie, I think I would have been the Lottie in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could show necessarily how angry Natalie was, and I wouldn't be supportive of it either, but yeah. So I would say Lottie probably.
What about you?
I got to go with Natalie.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was all band t-shirts and Sharpie fingernails, ponytail,
learned that. Mm-hmm.
Lots of drugs. I got sober at 23. So it's pretty young. So, you know, high school didn't go great. Mm-hmm. I graduated with a 4.0, but just a lot of drugs. Cause it turns out public school, that's easy to do. All right. He can read and he's really high, but, and I'm not as cool as Natalie, but yeah, I was just thinking like, I wonder who Steve identifies with in this friend group in Madison. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it'd be a neat question.
That's a fun question. Let's see how that changes over the course of the show.
Nope, no changes, no backsies.
No backsies.
Well, shit.
And if your character dies, you have to leave the pod. And then we get to...
Actually, I identify as Misty. No, I'm kidding.
So let's go through some Easter eggs, the little things that we found. We'll just fire them off, rapid fire. Steve, you start, then it'll go to Madison, and we'll go until none of us have any left.
Well, I feel like we're just going to trade musical numbers back and forth.
For the most part.
It starts off with Today by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Today.
Yep.
You're up.
The man at the beginning... one of the people that the reporter was talking to was Randy. I don't know if you caught that.
I did not.
So man at the beginning, he said, knew some of them pretty good back in the day.
That's the Randy. Dude is like a gym coach or something.
Yeah. Or he's like a custodian. That is Randy.
Nice. Oh, fucking man. Randy.
I dedicated this belch to that sexy lady.
He comes back.
That's awesome. I did not know that. I think it's not Rich, but the guy that shows his tits has a beeper. I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Oh yeah. Pager.
Yep. We got, Supernova by Liz Phair plays.
Mm-hmm.
Great song. Mm-hmm. Great song.
So at the very beginning, the opening scene, the person that walks up to the ditch is wearing bright pink Converse. I don't know if that.
I'm always down for some Converse.
Yeah.
Will that play in an episode later? I don't know. Actually, I don't know because I haven't seen the show.
I think it's Lottie. It might be somebody calls Allie Kelly Kapowski.
Yes.
From Saved by the Bell, of course. A little Saved by the Bell cut there. And they're not talking about the college years. They're talking about the original show. Anyway.
Let's see. We get, we already met Madison earlier. You mentioned Informer by Snow. Mm-hmm. I wrote the Camaro down as a one because that's just such a that time period car, yeah. Right?
The guys, the ones the dudes are driving or the one that yeah, Natalie's driving?
The okay. Dickheads, yeah.
I don't know. I think she's got a Porsche, but I don't know. Cool, cool. Madison?
Travis, when he's walking onto the plane, has a Walkman.
My dude.
Nice.
My dude.
Classic. Hope it doesn't skip. That's terrible.
Yep.
Rich is wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Much more popular at that time. Still alive, of course.
Let's see. I'm going to bring up, there's a fruit by the foot mention.
Ooh, what a good snack. I got miles of it. That's a lot of feet.
That's a lot of feet.
Shauna has one of those multiple colored pens. I think it's called Shiling pen.
You click each side down.
Yeah. She's writing in, which I guess alludes to her
journal
diaries. Yeah. But she's writing in her journal before Jackie gets in the car.
Awesome. There's a PJ Harvey song, which not going to lie, I don't know who that was.
Yeah, isn't that Down by the Water?
But I Googled the lyric. It was PJ Harvey.
Mm.
I think it was Down by the Water.
Which song was that?
The one before the final song, the NXS song.
Oh, okay.
That was covered by whoever you said covered it. I'm out of Eggies.
Well, the song that you mentioned earlier, Never Tear Us Apart by Paloma Faith. There was a Miss World by Hole.
Yep,
that popped was my last. That was the Hole song.
That was my last one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let Me Find Out by Posneg, I think, is the... I didn't know the artist. I had to look that one up.
And then I just thought of this. When Jackie's walking to Shauna's car at the beginning of the episode, she has one of those... You could like, there's a pet and you could take care of it on this little circle.
Tamagotchi?
Yeah, I think that's what that was on her backpack. I'm pretty sure that's what that was.
Those are good times. You gotta feed it.
My beeps. Tamagotchi lived to the maximum amount of days.
I bought one recently. I gave it to my son. He did not like it. It was a generational thing.
Oh, man.
It was like, cool.
I want
to like, great, I gotta take care of something.
Guess what? It died.
Thanks, old man. What are you gonna get me next? Some taffy?
He's playing his PlayStation 5, like, sweet.
I never had one of those, but I think my generation's equivalent was probably Webkinz. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Webkinz. Yeah. But
And the last thing, I don't know if this is an Easter egg, it was just another thing I noticed was Misty is always wearing cat outfits. She's always got cat patterns, like even her nurse's scrubs are cats.
Interesting.
Almost as if she's a predator that likes to play with her food.
Her prey.
I don't know why I'm doing this with my cord.
For the YouTube. Yeah. Which brings us to our top three favorite moments of the episode, numerating them down from 3 to 1. Steve, start us off. What's your number three favorite moment?
My number three favorite moment is when the Yellow Jackets have a little powwow and they have to say a nice thing about each other. It was just kind of a fun little... Like from the joke with Laura Lee telling everyone they're beautiful in the eyes of the Lord to just the individual things that everyone thought about each other was nice. Like, Laura Lee, your hair is shiny. Like, just that you could see the relationships really, really well. I thought that was a nice defining scene.
Heck yeah.
Madison, your number three?
My number three is the opening sequence. I thought it was I loved it. I thought it was really, really great. Set the tone pretty well. Yeah, that was my number three.
My number three is the opening sequence as well with the whole drop in the pit. I mean, it's a cold open because of the snow, but just really like, I'm sure Steve never, not even knowing the context of what the show is about. And me, the first time I watched it, I was like, holy shit, what is this? There was a lot of stickies doing stabbies in that hole.
Yeah,
I didn't know this was going to happen at all.
That took a whole day to make.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So yeah, just gets you right and involved and invested and makes it kind of an atonal experience where you're just really intrigued on the edge of your seat, if you will. Steve, your number two.
My number two is Natalie and her gang with the when the dickheads roll up in their Camaro.
Glad you mentioned that.
That was just such a really fun, like that brought me back to high school.
Yeah.
Personally, like I remember hanging out with those kids and just that one guy was so lovable when they're like, show me your tits. And he's like, I mean, if you want, and then he pulls up his shirt. Like, I would hang out with this crew.
I was really experiencing a lot of pain inside that I was about to delete the titties moment from my top three. And so that you putting it on there makes me feel so much better. Cause I truly do love that moment.
the titties.
Yeah, it sounded like weird to shorten it that way, but I love Madison, your number two.
My number two is finding out that, you know, Sean has been sleeping with Jeff in that scene. I thought, you know, what that opens up the can of worms of their relationship and really exposes Shauna in, yeah, their relationship together.
Like, ooh, this is delish. And then the way she does it too. Like, tell me you love me.
Tell me you love me. And then also if you come inside me, I will raise a murdering robot baby that will stop at nothing to kill you. Like, you've thought about this.
Yeah. That's fair.
Put some thought into this.
Yeah. That's fair. She, you know, she's owed that much at least.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want him to do that to me either.
Okay. He better pull out, huh, Steve? Jeff, not again.
Hey, Jeff, what are backs for?
My number two moment is the rabbit when Shauna, as an adult, kills the rabbit. It's just such a cool way of showing that there's so much to this character. There's a lot of darkness to this character, but also like survival skills. Like, it makes that's one of my favorite. I know we're out of time, but that's one of my favorite things in movies. It's like the Clint Eastwood, Unforgiven, the John Wick, where it's like, do they have a particular set of skills that I'm not yet privy to? That'd be really entertaining to watch. That's awesome. You know? Anyway, so that's my number two is the rabbit. Steve, your favorite moment of episode one?
My favorite moment, I think, says a lot about me, and I'm just discovering about that, about myself, and I'm kind of concerned, but it's literally the scene where Christina Ricci is mean to an old woman. I know we kind of blazed through it in the recap because of time, but I loved it because she's just, I mean, A, it's Christina Ricci. I love her. She was in Casper. And just the way she goes from like, hi, are you being a trooper today? Oh, you pissing your sheets? Oh, you're being mean to me? Don't fuck with me. Yeah, happy Friday, ladies. Like, that whole was like, oh my gosh, I am excited to see how awful of a person she is. I cannot wait.
She's a psycho, but at the same time, like, she's kind of a customer service hero in that moment as well, right?
Sure.
Yeah, true. If you picture Gloria as like,
I don't know if I would put geriatric healthcare in the customer service bin.
You're such a Karen. Oh, you want your medicine. I'm on break.
You need it to live comfortably. That's my number one.
Nice.
Madison, you're number one.
My number one, and we've talked about it a couple times, but the departure montage, that whole section. Yes. I just think it really sets up a lot for these characters in the future episodes.
Awesome. So. My favorite moment is that fucking stupid necklace. And when Jackie gives it to Shauna, just because from a writing perspective, I think that's such a brilliant way to be like, if you still thought this was predictable and you knew what the show was going to be, but you're still entertained, check this out. And you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, I have no basis for what the future might hold. I don't know what's going on at all. I'm really unsettled. I have to watch episode two. It's just a brilliant move. That's my favorite moment. So that brings us to our final segment, our favorite performance of the episode. Steve.
Well, I'm giving the inaugural JLo Jagged's favorite performance to Sophie Nalise. Is that how you pronounce her last name? She plays Teen Shauna.
Yeah.
I thought she was the one in this episode that had the most to do in terms of like range of emotion. Based off what you guys are saying, I'm totally on a roller coaster with this character. Like, oh, I thought I knew what was happening. Oh, wait, I don't. Oh, is she good? Oh, is she bad? Do I feel bad for her? Yes, I do. But should I? I'm really, really excited to see where it goes. And I think the actress really, you know, crushed that role. So I can't wait to see what she does.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I just want to say, I think all of these actors are doing an amazing, amazing job. And I feel like I'm going to be a broken record when I say Melanie Lynskey is my best performance. What I love is there's so much mystery to how she's performing. You don't really know where you stand with her. I loved how she was able to be super rude / mean to the reporter, but like have such like a soft voice with her daughter. I don't know. There was just a lot of wave of emotions with her, and I love it.
Yeah. There's something so, like, the casting, they won Emmys for casting, or at least were nominated for this for good reason, right? And because, like, Melanie Lynskey specifically, it's like she has such a sweet suburban mom demeanor about her, like everything about the way she looks, just, you know, oh, what a good person, you know? Yeah. And then, but also is capable of acting and pulling off the vibe that she'll fucking stab your jugular. And she knows where the carotid is.
Having
she,
a burner phone in a safe is never a good sign.
Most people don't, right?
Yeah.
perfect casting in that respect. And her character's so intriguing. But yeah, you're right. There's, you could have given it to literally anybody and I wouldn't have been like, what? Unless it was like right. Randy.
What, Laura Lee?
I'm giving it to Randy. Like, I love Sophie Thatcher. I think she's great in this show. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of watching the show as an experience because you're not, for me, it's like, when it goes back into the present, I'm kind of like, oh, but I miss the 96 people, you know? But then I get stuck in the 2021 for a while and we go back in time and I'm like, oh, fuck. I want, where's Juliette Lewis and Christina Ricci? And it's cool because they're both doing such a great job, both sets of cast.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the end of our first episode of the Yellow Jackets coverage. We hope you really like it because you're going to get 19 more or so. So seatbelt
strap in.
That's what the idiom.
Seatbelts in.
Unlike that one bitch on the plane that was just rolling around.
Yeah. Don't be that person.
Yeah. Don't earn your don't earn your seat, JV.
Right? Don't die before the plane crashes.
You got to strap in. Madison, is there any work or social medias that you want to plug?
I don't have any socials or any content advertising stuff to have, but
okay. Just want to make sure.
I'm just here hanging.
Well, email the show.
Yeah, let us know how much you love Madison.
We'll pass it along to her. You can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at streamthingpod. And there's a Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings. You can subscribe at a variety of tiers, get bonus episodes, all kinds of different stuff. There's Steve's feet picks is a really high tier, but you get to see all 9 of those piggies if you pay that money.
S-tier quality.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The reviews are in. I made it on the my piggies made it on the spreadsheet. All 9 of them. S-tier.
You should christen my Crocs with those, Steve. I don't like how I said that either.
Do me the honor, sir. But you know what you also should do? You should christen our merch store, which is brand new. So go check it out. It'll be in the show notes. Go buy yourself a Annie Hoosel shirt, a Pills Baby shirt, maybe a Pippin the Dog fan club shirt.
Maybe.
Who knows?
You might be into that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Steve.
My name's Madison.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
It's the end of the episode in the month of February, the month of love. So it's time to show some love to our brand new patrons this month. In our Try Before You Deny section, we welcome David Malfara. The Marty B VIP producers, we welcome Tanmay Jane, Garrett Pratt, Michael Brook, Professor Beth RN, Veronica, Ode Bianchers, Ibsliz, Droog, Samuel T, Drew Watkins, Brett Logue, Joseph Bowen, Kaylee Sampson, Nick, and Stephanie Bennett. In the Chocolate Pudding Producers section, we welcome none other than Renzo 20, Claudia Garver, Kristen Glenn, Amanda Brown, John Cavett, Bruce Cullum, Maria Rojas, Candace Hensley, Logan Loftus, Hannah W., Kenneth Singletary, Matthew Unden, Carol Ann Quinn, Dan Wells, Max Grabinski, Kelly Nealon, Hannah T.S., Aurelio Reyes, Valerie Frazier, and Andrew Edelman. And finally, in the Friends Don't Lie producers tier, we welcome Baby Bella Twinkie Butt of Spotty Bottom. Maybe the greatest patron name in the history of patron names. And that has been our brand new patrons that we want to show our love to. Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.